Following program is your wake-up call. Listener discretion advised.
Ooh, hey, hey. Oh, what we're living in. Let me tell ya. Well, it's a world that man can eat at all. When things are big, that should be small. Who can tell what magic spells we'll be doing for us? And I'm giving up my love to this world, only to be told.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Hey, Key West, Dorian and Tony DeLeonardo here from the Progressive Union Radio Show in New York City with your weekly dose of Election 2016. Here's what you need to know. So today there was yet another shakeup at the old Trump campaign. They just can't get it straight. Looking for new staff members. Almost, we have 82 days till the election, and they're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, it's like the campaign and censor round from the 70s.
Anyway.
And it almost made me puke then when I went to see Earthquake, and it's about to make me puke now.
Well, try to hold yourself till we're done. So anyway, there was an article that came out a couple of days ago. The New York Times did a story about Paul Manafort. So if you don't know who Paul Manafort is, he's either number three or fourth campaign manager, if you count Roger Stone.
He's number three.
He's number four.
Number four?
I don't know.
Lewandowski was number one, wasn't he?
No, Roger Stone was helping Trump first.
Stone, Lewandowski, and then...
Oh, you're right. It is number three.
Manafort.
Four would be the new guy today. So anyway, it turns out that Paul Manafort has some ties to the Russian government, and it was recently confirmed that he helped a pro-Russian governing party in the Ukraine secretly route at least $2.2 million in payments to two prominent Washington lobbying firms in 2012, and did so in a way that effectively obscured the foreign political party's efforts to influence U.S. policy. Now, apparently, this is under federal law that U.S. lobbyists like Mr. Manafort have to declare publicly that they represent foreign leaders or their political parties and provide some reports to State Department and so forth. If you don't do that, it's a felony and you can go to jail for like 5 years and, you know, a fine of $250,000. But for Mr. Manafort, who apparently has millions from these foreign entities, that wouldn't be a lot of money. So that's
I could just hear Trump right now. Don't worry, Paulie, I got it. I got your legal fees.
Right, exactly. So anyway, that story broke and there was a deny. They said, oh, the New York Times, crooked media, they're not telling the truth. Well, I'm sorry, folks. The Ukraine government is doing the investigation. They're the ones that are examining these secret records, handwritten ledgers, of which Mr. Manafort appears 22 times. And he has received $2.2 million. The total amount of money that was being moved around was $12.7 million. Now, I want you to understand, that's the money of the people of Ukraine. That's their taxpayer dollars that they're maneuvering and paying off others with. So this is an entanglement of corruption that the Ukraine government is trying to figure out what went on. So I think they wanted to kind of make it like Manafort's not really all that in charge, and this whole Russia connection that keeps coming up all the time, you know, from Donald Trump saying, you know, Russia, why don't you hack Hillary's emails?
Yes.
And well, who?
They spend enough time in Russia that made making 007 look like just a tourist.
Well, that's true.
From Russia with love.
He had an office, Manafort, in the Ukraine until June. So, you know, he was definitely entrenched there. So they want to really
plans for world domination.
They want to kind of take the light off this whole Russian connection, but they're really not doing it in a smart way. Now they have,
I say we put them all in a bag and drop them in Chernobyl.
Michael Flynn, the general that's on the campaign and advisor to Trump, he also has ties to Russia. He actually appears very often on the Russian national government TV on their programs. He has been at a dinner with Putin at his table, and he gave a speech at that said dinner. So he's another one with connections to Russia. And then, of course, there is...
I would love to see General Patton's reaction to this general.
I would like to see his reaction to Donald Trump. That would be... really a lot of fun.
Now he would bitch slap the both of them so bad. Well, it would be nothing. It would be so much better than when he hit that kid during World War II.
There's another Russian connection that I wanted to talk about. There is Ivanka Trump. Hard to believe, but Ivanka Trump is also tangled into the Russian web.
Yeah, she's sure trying to become a Bond girl in my
next picture. No, she's not trying to become a Bond girl. It has been reported in the fluff media.
You mean she did the fluff on me just for fun?
No. She appeared. There are articles in Vanity Fair, Town and Country, Us People magazine, all about Ivanka's vacation to Croatia. Apparently she decided, nothing to do for Dad's campaign. I just had a baby like a month ago. Let me go on a vacation to Croatia. So she went on this vacation, and who did she go
with? If I was her husband, he'd be like, where are you going?
He might have been with her. I'm really not sure if he's with her or not, but apparently the kids are not all that worried. Okay. So who did she go on vacation with, or who did she see on her vacation? They didn't go on vacation together, but she met up with this gal pal of hers. And her gal pal is a woman named Wendy Deng. Now, if you don't know who Wendy Deng is, she is the former wife of Rupert Murdoch, who is the Fox News king. He is the creator of Fox News.
She was also another one who tried to get a role as a Bond girl.
No, she didn't. But anyway,
another fluff.
She was married to Rupert Murdoch. They got divorced. The divorce was supposedly because she was having an affair with Tony Blair of Great Britain, Prime Minister Tony Blair. So she was cheating on Rupert Murdoch, Mr. Fox News, on Tony Blair. All right? It gets better, folks. Okay, so she then decides, Wendy Deng, that she's going to move on from Tony Blair, and now her new boy toy is none other than Vladimir Putin. So Wendy Deng is his girlfriend.
Whoa, this Wendy Deng is a regular Mata Hari of the New World Order.
She is, really. She is loaded, and apparently probably knows a lot of things that we'd like to know about, because she's been with the very rich and powerful. So anyway, so she's hanging out.
She's quite that up and tug gal.
So she's Tony. She is the gal pal of Ivanka Trump. So they're hanging out in Croatia. There's an Instagram picture of them two, the two of them together. So if you're really trying to walk away and walk back the Russian connection, this would not be the way to do it. So we have a lot here that has to do with Russia. And of course, also, the Republicans made their platform say that they're not going to bother Putin, you know, regarding his invasions, you know, to these countries. Like, let him alone. Let him be him. Let Putin be Putin. Basically, that's what it says in their platform. It's really stunning. So there's that. So now we have, so who's running the campaign? The campaign is now being run by, this is the Posse of Poison, the Huffington Post call them this.
Whoa, the Posse of Poison. I like
yes,
that.
Yes, Sean Connery.
What are my next movie?
007. Paul Manafort, okay, so he wasn't fired. A lot of people are saying he was fired. He was not fired. His duties are being shifted. This guy, Rick Gates, who's his buddy, he's another one involved in this whole Ukraine mess. Stephen Bannon, who we're going to get into after our little break here. And a woman, Kellyanne Conway, she's a pollster and advisor. She's been around the Republican circles for a long time. Now, these people are not...
Oh, I could say something about that.
These people are definitely not fresh faces. You know, Trump keeps saying, I'm not a politician. These people are thoroughly entrenched in the political process, okay, on many different levels. And all of the people that have been helping him are part of the game, okay? They're not new to the process. So these are the people, these are the four people, the posse, that are supposed to help Trump, you know, turn it around, because last month's been pretty bad. the polling numbers are not so good. Now, you don't hear about a lot of this on the mainstream media, and there's a reason for that. Mainstream media really wants to keep the race tight, you know, because they're going to have the debates, and they want a lot of viewers, and they want people to keep tuning in. And Hillary's numbers have really been boosted. They've been growing. So they don't really want that to be, because if Hillary pulls it out of here so early,
well,
who's going to watch the TV?
If I was a voter, I would say he can't even get through a campaign without constantly changing. What would happen in a major league disaster if there's a
disaster? That's a fantastic point. And also,
his camp, I swear to God, it's like Trump on training wheels. He still can't ride the bike.
No, you're right. He hasn't found his way. And the people that he's putting in his, on his team are horrible. Like, these people, poison is a perfect way to describe them. And you really judge a man by who he surrounds himself with, I would say.
Judge a man by the company he keeps.
Absolutely.
That's what you say.
100%. So we're going to take a short break, do a little music, and we're going to come back with some more stories for you guys. Progressive Union.
Listening to the Progressive Union on WXKW VX 104.9 Key West, Florida.
Progressive Union, we are back. I am your host, Dorian DeLeonardo, broadcasting to you from New York City with my husband and co-host, Tony DeLeonardo. So let's pick up for where we left off. So who's Stephen Bannon, the new player in the posse of poison and Donald Trump's campaign? Stephen Bannon is the executive chairman of Breitbart News, who took over for Andrew Breitbart when he passed away of a heart attack about 3 years ago.
Let's hope Bannon goes the same route. Very quickly.
Breitbart actually broke the story about Anthony Weiner, if people remember.
Yeah, well, this Bannon looks like a boozed up, burned out old football coach. That wanders the sidelines.
That's the least of the problems. He is a very aggressive self-promoter. He's changed the website. A lot of things that Andrew Breitbart did not believe in, he is promoting. He wants to attract, you know, the racist element of society, and he's definitely worked towards that. And he has been the website's been a Trump promoter, and they are very supportive of Trump since the very beginning of the campaign. So people who know this Bannon say that he's in it because he wants to elevate the brand. He wants to have like a media outlet for himself and for his viewpoint, and he thinks Trump's the way to go. So even if Trump loses, he probably wins because he wants to be on the bandwagon, increasing his media presence.
Yeah, he wants to dethrone Alex Jones, the other nut job.
Well, Alex Jones is not that big. He would want to dethrone Fox News. That's what he wants to do. And remember now, Roger Ailes, who's next on our hit parade, is not anymore connected to Fox News because of his legal problems. So those are your players now. Stephen Bannon, Paul Manafort, Richard Gates, Rick Gates, who are connected to this Russia problem, and Kellyanne Conway. Those are the four horsemen of the apocalypse running the Trump campaign. And by the way, Bannon is going to allow Trump to be Trump as much as he wants. You will not see Trump dial back at all, because that's not the goal of this Mr. Bannon. So the other day, Trump had a speech that he gave, and one of the things he touched upon was something called, he called extreme vetting. Is that anything like extreme petting? No, I'm only kidding.
Extreme petting,
dear. Extreme petting. He said it twice. So he's talking about the fact that he doesn't think that we are diligent enough.
I wish somebody would extremely vet his prostate with a lightsaber.
Stop, Tony. Oh, gosh. So, oh, my God. Did you really say that?
Yes, I did. Should I repeat it for you, dear?
No. So he's talking about, you know, he wants to make sure that he screens out all the members of the sympathizers of terrorist groups, and we must also screen out anyone who has hostile attitudes. Like, how do you know that? Toward our country and our principles, and believers that Sharia law should replace our law. So
he ought to screen his brain with an MRI.
And he's talking a lot about, like, what people think and their minds. So anyway, let's go to check reality check here, okay? So first of all, you can go to our website and you can look to see how we already extremely vet people that come in as refugees to this country, and specifically about Syrian refugees. It takes them 2 years to get in here, and it is a very long process for them to get point A to point 9, and you will see it. And if they misstep in any part of it, even if they have like a disease, like I believe it's tuberculosis, and they're at the last stage, they'll be sent back. They can't come in. They take iris tests, like they take fluid from their eye. I mean, they do a lot of stuff. I mean, it's draconian. And it's the most strict vetting in all of the free world, to be honest.
And if you can get through that, you too can drive an Uber cab.
There you go.
Why you peddle your Syrian shish kebabs on the side?
So anyway, there's an easier way to come in if you want to do damage in this country, and that's the way the Saudis came in here. Saudi Arabia, which nobody ever talks about them because, you know, the top 1% like the Saudis.
You know how the Saudis get in here?
They got in on regular visas.
They come in
visas
with wads of cash, they shake it at the first immigration officer, and they say, send me to your nearest strip joint.
No, they have
and
money.
And they let them go.
They have money, so they get a visa. Now, this is the way people come in here, okay? So it takes 2 years for the Syrian refugees, and only 1% of the people that apply in the very beginning before they're anywhere near American soil are allowed to go through this lengthy 2-year process. So very few people actually get in here that are refugees who are running away from the bad guys, remember. The bad guys don't have to do that. They can be one of the, in 2014, 181 million people that entered the United States quite easily on tourist visas, business travelers, or students on a temporary basis. And that comes from the Migration Policy Institute. So 181 people came in on those types of visas, and they don't go through that kind of scrutiny. The refugees do, and very few get in because of that. So, you know.
Well, they play hit and run. They come in under one thing.
Well,
they do something else.
Well, the other problem is
they figure they might not survive it anyway, so they're like.
But it's easier for them to come in that way, and they can come from. Listen, these terrorists come from a lot of countries that are not, you know, the typical that he's talking about.
Yeah, well,
Germany,
back
France.
In the day, Germany and France and Great Britain. Anybody who saw movies like The Wind and the Lion and Lawrence of Arabia, these superpowers were all in the desert, messing around with these people.
Well, that's why there's people from Germany.
It was Germany there, and there was, because in World War One, Germany and the Middle East were, well, Turkey, because Turkey basically ran that whole area at mm-hmm. one time. And Germany and Turkey were allies in World War One.
Right. So what I'm trying to say is that the people don't just come from the places he's pointing to, like Syria or Pakistan. Could come from anywhere.
That was all considered at one time the Ottoman Empire.
Right. So they could come from anywhere. We've had terrorists that were born in France. We've had terrorists that were born in many other countries. So what are you going to do? Are you going to do that to the 181 million people that come here to visit? Are you going to do that? Because that's what you'd have to do to be sure that everybody is vetted.
Well, I'm sure 181 million of those people are not just from that area.
No, they're not. No. These 181 billion are all of the people in the planet Earth that have come here.
So the people that plan to do damage in they the do. Name of, this in is the how name they of, come. In the name of Allah and ISIS.
This is how they come.
But that's
visa.
Not all 181
no,
million.
I'm it just
sure
takes
a
one
lot
person.
Of them come from Cameroon and Honduras and all these other places.
Of course, they can come from anywhere. What I'm
they're
trying
coming
to say
here
is
to visit family.
They're not going to come as Syrian refugees. It takes 2 years. They could come in on these easy visas that are easy to
but
get.
But what I'm saying is that number, they're going to try to peddle that number. Is that they're all, if they get that number in their playbook, they're going to try to say that. Like they're pumping how many burgers McDonald's served.
No, I think they're fine with that number because those are some of their friends, like the people from Saudi Arabia that they actually like.
That
meanwhile,
that head for scores out in the city once they touch down.
No, actually, they were flying the planes from 9/11. Remember, that most of those people were from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and they were the only ones allowed to take off after.
Yeah, that's true. So anyway, then of course there's the debate prep story. Roger Ailes, who is the former Fox News chairman, a lot of stuff about Fox this time, who was ousted last month due to sexual harassment charges of over 20 women, including Gretchen Carlson and Megyn Kelly, all conservative women. He is a longtime buddy of Trump. Trump says he's a great guy, even since this story broke. And so the story, according to four sources confirmed by the New York Times, who of course are not able to say their names because they are not allowed to speak about this, say that, yes, Roger Ailes is helping Donald Trump. So this is another wonderful human being that Trump has himself aligned with.
What is he
with.
Doing? Helping him learn to sign his name?
I don't know what he's trying to do. But he's actually, Roger Ailes has
Donald,
helped.
Donald, pick up the pen first, put down the Twitter account. T-R, Donald, T-R. Not C-H-U-M-P. T-R-U-M-P.
Oh, you're funny. So there's that. Of course, Trump is saying, I never needed a coach for debates. You know, he's not helping me. Okay, fine.
Oh, please. He needs a coach to sit on the bowl without falling off.
Now, the last two things we have is, number one, Hillary's emails. Okay, that was a settled matter. James Comey, FBI director, said there are no criminal charges. There's no evidence of criminality. He gave an unprecedented televised announcement of this. Never happened in the history of the FBI that that's happened. He did kind of slap her on the hand. He thought it was sloppy, but nothing criminal, nothing here. Now the Republicans...
That story is the turd that won't flush.
Well, that's because they need to have a little friction in the Hillary side to keep the race, the corporate media, keep the race close. Republicans are asking now for the investigators' notes on the matter. But they're not allowed to talk about them or show them to anybody.
I would say to them...
It's ridiculous.
You're not allowed to have these notes. This goes to the Justice Department.
No, they're allowed to them on a certain committee in the House.
Oh, another committee. Another committee. $14 million
right.
wasted.
More money. You're right. You're
of
right.
our tax dollars wasted to find out that there's nothing.
Amen. You're right about that. So, and of course, they can't even read these outside of this room that is specifically made for them to read this specific information. It's all to keep it in the news so there's something negative about Hillary, to keep her untrustworthy numbers up so the race between Trump and Hillary is close. So, last thing I have to say is Michael Moore had a blog on Huffington Post saying that it is common knowledge that Donald Trump never really wanted to be president in the first place, that all he did this was for to have leverage with NBC to negotiate his show The Apprentice to make more money. And once he started saying all the crazy things he started to say, NBC got upset and canceled the show because he was offending like half of America. So he lost his show, and then he realized, oh geez, now I don't have the show, I guess I'll keep going. He never thought he was going to get this far.
He really sometimes, I don't know how many of you have watched Looney Tunes, sometimes he really reminds me of Daffy Duck running around. He's always trying to best everybody, and then everything blows up in his face.
Well, I think that this does hold water for me. I don't know about you.
But the thing of it is, I like Daffy Duck.
I know. And we don't like Donald Trump very much.
Oh, I could use stronger language than
this
that.
This is true. Anyway,
but I am on the airwaves.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you can listen to the long version of our show at our website, progressiveunion.com. You can podcast our show at iTunes, and you can download our show on Google Play on the Podbeam app. Keep it locked in to WXKW 104.9 VX.
back in the U.S., back in the U.S., back in the U.S.S.R.